Good morning, everyone. If you can turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 1 to 7. So Proverbs 1, 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise in the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me read verse 7 again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. Amen. First of all, it's really good for me to be back. I feel like it's been so long since I've been in SP and in front of you guys at Pulpit. I almost forgotten what it was like to pastor and whatnot. But thank you for your prayers when I was gone in Toronto. I had a really good time. I had a really good time catching up with old friends and catching up with a lot of family members and whatnot. But while I was there, I realized there was a lot of truth, biblical truth, that came to me. And not so much because I was, you know, being really spiritual about things, being like, oh my gosh, you know, this situation, what is God trying to say? You know, or you know, this thing's happening in my family, you know, what is going on? Actually, most of it was when I was in Toronto, I felt it was very, I was very spiritually just indiscerning. And for me, it was very different because I was there, things just happened. I was like, I have no idea what just happened, but I'm glad I'm back home. And it wasn't until I got back to Hong Kong that God started speaking to me about it. And it was specifically when I started meeting with my parents and my sister, and we started talking about my family in Toronto because my dad's side is all there. And when I was there, I visited my grandma, and she's currently having dementia. And she's starting to forget the people around her. And so when I saw her, you know, my aunt obviously introduced me to her. It's like, hey, grandma, do you remember? This is Ricky. She looks at me. She's like, Ricky, no. Like, she can't remember. And so when I was growing up, because her English wasn't that good, she didn't really call me Ricky. She called me Lookie. And so I looked at her. I was like, grandma, not Ricky. Lookie, do you remember me? And she's like, oh, Lookie, yeah. And so, anyway, so I started sharing this with my parents here, and we started having this huge conversation about family and some of the things that are going on in our family in terms of not just my immediate family, but, you know, my family in Toronto and my family here. And I've shared with you guys that there's, you know, some things that are happening, like my cousin being in drugs, and, you know, they don't really know God, and a close family friend who's going through a divorce. And now seeing my grandma going through dementia and whatnot. And there was a truth that really came to me because my parents was talking about how much my grandma must worry about, you know, all her kids because, no, not all of them are Christian. And then how much my cousin's parents worry about her because they don't know what to do and whatnot. And I realized everyone's worrying about their kids and the family. And then my parents said something to me that for me was a great source of encouragement. But what started me onto this thought was they actually looked at me. They said, you know, of all the things that are going on, whether it's in, you know, my immediate family, you know, my sister with her work, or, you know, my grandma or my cousins, they looked at me and they said, you know what? We realized something, Ricky. When we look at you, we don't really worry about you. At first, I was like, what do you mean you don't worry about me? You don't love me? Right? No, but they were saying, actually, when we look at your life, and we look at you and Steph, we don't really worry about you. We don't really worry about what's going to happen with your future. We don't really worry about your marriage. We don't worry about, you know, Lauren. We don't really worry that something's going to happen. We're just, we don't worry. And being a the pastor that I am now, I started being really preachy with him. I was like, it's because I know God. It's because I know the word, you know, and I'm trying to my parents are believers, but they're quite young in their faith. And so I'm starting to tell them, like, oh, it's because of the word of the Lord, all these sort of things. And obviously, you know, because I'm so free with them, I get really preachy. And of course, they're like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And they don't really listen. But when I was really meditating about it, you know, I really felt like God bringing me the Proverbs 1, and specifically to verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I caught myself because I'm trying to explain to them, you know, it's because I know God. It's because Jesus is in my life. It's because if there's just something mysterious about it that happens. When you know God, His wisdom becomes a part of you. You can understand His wisdom. And so you can live a life that is free. And you know, I realize something. To a Christian, when I tell this to you guys get it, right? When I tell you, God really is the answer. To some extent, you can get that. You realize it's true. God really is the answer, right? We can quote Philippians 4:6, right? And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. And we'll say, it's Jesus is the answer, right? Jesus. But when I tell this to my non-Christian family or, you know, young believers, they're like, what? You know, especially to non-charismatics. They're like, what? It's just so hokey, you know, I don't understand. And so when I started studying it, I realized, you know, what does it mean? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, the word fear, I remember when I was young as a Christian, I hated this word. I was like, what do you mean I have to fear the Lord, right? I thought God was a good God, right? Why do I have to fear Him? Well, the word fear in Hebrew is yarach, and it pronounced yarach. And what it means is there's a few definitions that I quite like from it, but it's the moral reverence of God. Okay, so understanding that God is good, and not only is He good, there's a reverence for Him because we know He's morally good. The things about Him are good, right? He's acceptable. He teaches good things, right? That's one of them. Actually, although the word is fear, in Hebrew, it's actually a positive word. It's a positive noun. When we're talking about the word fear, it's not that we're afraid of something fear, like, you know, a ghost or, you know, when something bad happens, that sort of fear, but a positive fear that there is a good thing that comes from this fear. But the two definitions I actually love the most is first, acknowledging His good intentions. When we fear God, we're acknowledging that the things that He desires for us are good. And the second one that I love is this. The fear of God, it is produced only by God's word, and it makes receptive of His knowledge and His wisdom. And so let me say this again, right? The word yirah, right, indicates that there is a fear of God that is only produced by God's word, and it makes us receptive of His knowledge and wisdom. When I read that, I was like, aha, that's it. You know, that's the crux of this verse. You know what, I was wrong when I tried to explain it to my parents. It's simply, you know, this supernatural thing. It's true, it is. But what makes us wise, what makes us have knowledge, what makes us live in a way where we can have life is not just a fear of God, which is good, but knowing His word, the word of Yirah. Knowing God's word produces, His word, the fear of God produces by God's word and only by God's word. And it makes us receptive to His knowledge and His understanding. And so I found this is absolutely indicative. And not only is it indicative, I find it's so good compared to the theme of this year of word and power, right? As this congregation, it's great when we're hearing this theme, okay, word and power, year of authority. But the truth is, the only way we're going to get there and the only way we can know His understanding and to receive authority is only through God's word, right? And I heard this from a talk from John Paul Jackson, right? He was talking on this talk show, and he was talking specifically about the Jezebel spirit and whatnot. And he was saying that, you know, it's great when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's great when we talk about the things that we can do and the things we witness the Spirit do, right? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But he said the anointing of authority only comes from two things. One, authority only comes through proximity with God, right? And he was explaining, well, demons have power, right? We know gifts are irrevocable, right? God gave them gifts, and in those gifts there was power, but they have no authority because they have no proximity to God. And the second thing is the authority only comes from the word. And so if we do not know the word, there is no authority in what we do. And so one of the first things I realized I needed to start teaching my family, and I remember having this conversation with my mom yesterday, and I mean, the first thing I would say to you guys is this, is we really need to know the word, right? We really need to do 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All scripture is inspired by God, right? Inspired by God for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and in training for all righteousness. And you know what's really funny is I find that this is not only important for us as a church, but specifically to SP. And do you know why? Let me explain to you why. So in Toronto, I come from a very conservative background, okay? And I come from a place where when we worship and the worship leader asks people to stand, you know, people stand and they do this. And when they sing, it's simply like this. Our God, our deliverer. And if you were to raise your hand, that's like, oh my gosh. Basically, there's only two levels of charismatic. There's conservative, which is like this. And then there's Airport Church, Benny Hinn, which is like, Airport Church, if you guys don't know, is in Toronto. It's a charismatic church. And they're like basically, they're considered like Benny Hinn, you know. He waves his hand, and it's like slain in the spirit. And so when I went back home and people started asking me, you know, hey, Ricky, what do you do now? I said, well, I'm a pastor. And the first thing they say to me is like, well, have you studied? I'm like, no. Well, then what makes you a pastor? Well, I was like, well, you know, it's my calling. And I really believe some of the works of the Spirit through me that really confirms, you know, the calling that I have. And they're like, what do you mean by works of the Spirit? And I said, well, you know, one of the things that I do in the church is, you know, I pray for people for healing. You know, I pray prophetically over people, stuff like that. And then you know what happens? They look at me with this look that's like, and they don't do it because they're not rude, but I know in their head they're like mentally backing away from me. Like, prophetically, huh? You know, praying for healing, huh? And I just know there's just something in their heads. They're not trying to judge me. It's not, they don't mean to, but because they've never experienced it. And you know what I realized after I came back was SP as a church, as a charismatic church, we really need to know God's word. Downright, period, flat out, right? There is no excuse for us not to know God's word. Do you know why? There is already such a stigma on charismatic churches that the charismatic and the prophetic replaces God's word, right? And so when they look at me and they say, I pray for healing, and they look at me all kooky-like. You know, there was a friend that I ended up praying for healing for. And praise God, he was healed on the spot. And he looked at me anyway. He was like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, what, is this really of God, right? I had to prove to him that this was from God, right? So I said to him, Mark 16:17, right? Here are the signs that follow those that believe, right? And you know, they'll speak in new tongues. They'll drive out demons. They'll pick up deadly snakes with their bare hands. They'll drink deadly poison. It will not harm them. And when they lay their hands on the sick, they will become well. And I said to them, do you know who said this first? It was Jesus. And they're like, no. And they went to the word and they read it. And so I realized that as a charismatic church, as people who believe in the current day anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, we better know God's word. Because we're not only trying to convince and to convict the world, or those who don't know Christ, about Jesus and about his Spirit, we also need to make sure that we're not tarnishing the name of the Lord and to stumble other Christians when we tell them about the power of God. Because without the word, we have no authority. Without the word, all we have is, yeah, I've seen it happen. Anecdotal evidence. You guys know that, right? When I was in engineering doing labs, right? When people tell me, oh, yeah, it works, that's anecdotal evidence. And do you know how much weight anecdotal evidence holds? Zero. You know, I mean, you know, the hearing of the word, you know, produces faith, right? I should just apologize. I totally misquoted that. So, you know, but the paraphrase is hearing, right, makes the rising of faith. And we realize that there is benefit to speaking truth in that way, but we really need to know the word, right? And this is simply a truth. This is something that we need to do, right? The second thing we need to do after we know the word is this, right? We need examples of the word being lived out for us. And let me give you an example why, right? When we read the word and we start to understand it, it's really good, right? And this is God's knowledge starting to speak to us, and we're starting to realize, you know, the beauty of the word and why it's good and whatnot. But the reason why it's important to have examples of the word lived out for us is this, right? I'm a parent now, and an example I would give is now that when I go and I see other people's kids and whatnot, it's not that I judge them, but I start looking at them and I want to learn everything that I can. Because I realize with Lauren, man, I better do a good job, right? Like, I better raise her up well. And this is just a desire that I have. And so when I'm looking at other parents, I'm like, what are they doing well? How can I learn from them? What aren't they doing well? What should I not be doing? And I realized something is a lot of parents may parent well, and a lot of parents may not parent well, but I realize there's been one thing, like one common denominator in parents that I see parent well versus parents that I see don't parent well, is most people that I see parent well, when I ask them, so what is it that how do you know what it is that you know, right? How is it that you are able to parent the way that you parent, right? And obviously there's the word of God, which is good. But the example, the practical example that I want to give is this, right? And I ask a lot of them. Some of them say, I'll read books, I'll do this and whatnot. But one of the common denominators that I realize when I see when parents that parent well is most of them tell me this. I had parents that modeled it for me. I had parents that taught me how to parent, right? And they didn't teach me how to parent by saying, okay, you know, you got to do this and you got to do this, you got to do this, right? No. They were taught how to parent by how they were brought up. They were taught how to parent by how their parents taught them how to live and grow up and whatnot, right? And so when I see that, you know, and again, being a pastor, I'll spiritualize this as well, is we also need people to teach us, not just the word, but how to live it out, right? And this is a truth. Also in Hebrews 13:7, right? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their faith, imitate their conduct. Oh, sorry, wrong. Considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Sorry. Right? And so basically, what the author of Hebrews is saying is this, right? Seeing the fruit of your leaders, right? And I'm not, it's not a self-seeking thing where I'm talking about me, right? But whoever is a leader in your life, whoever is a mentor to you, whoever you look up to, seeing the fruit of their conduct, seeing the fruit of wisdom that they have for other people, seeing the way that they're able to bring life and exhortation to other people, seeing the way that they're able to handle situations, that should be for us an encouragement to say, I want that. I want what they have in my life. Right? And Pastor Benjamin was saying this too. He was, when we were having a staff meeting with him, he was saying, one of the people that he respects most actually is his spiritual father. And the reason is because what he wants and desires is the same spiritual life that his spiritual father has. And what he was saying was, the reason why was because his spiritual father, one of the craziest things that he has is, you know, he may not have a big church, he may not have, you know, he doesn't go into the nations and preach, but he has the most amazing personal walk with God. And he was saying, he's one of those guys that could drive, he's telling a story where one day he was driving his girl to school, and his girl, I think, how old, like 5 years old, very young. And so he dropped her off, and then all of a sudden he feels like God speaking to him. So he starts praying, and then all of a sudden he hears a knock on the window, right? And then he looks up, he's like, what? And obviously he's like praying already, and it's his daughter, and he's like, Daddy, let's go home now. And so basically, he was sitting there for like 3 hours, right, waiting for her from kindergarten coming out and just praying. And Pastor Benjamin was saying, you know, I recognize that that's the type of life that I want. And so when he said that, I really reflected about my life too, right? I look at P. Sam, right, and I share this all the time, right? I look at Larry, I look at Becky, right? I look at Pastor Benjamin. I look at, Brian Kim, Pastor Brian Kim, right? And although I don't know him personally, I listen to some of his messages. Pastor Sunhee, man, I want what they have in my life. I hope one day I can go up and preach at a retreat and people just get freed. I pray that one day I can walk up into I don't know, the Western or somewhere in China where there's no medicine or something like that. I can preach a prophetic word, pray for healing, and people just get healed and then believe in God. Right? That is my desire. And part of me, because I also love business, you know, I hope one day I'm able to create a business. Growing up, I had a lot of business mentors who had a lot of factories in China.
They had a lot of actually, it doesn't matter. They don't know who they are. They had a lot of factories in China, and they would do it just so they can create jobs to bring in people so they can preach the gospel to them. And so part of my desire is one day I hope that I can create businesses to do the same thing, or to have schools in China where I can teach the Word of God, or anywhere. It doesn't have to be China. It could be in Hong Kong to have schools here based on the Word of God to teach these things. Because I hope seeing their faith and seeing their conduct and to recognize the fruit of their conduct, I want that faith in my life. And so that is the importance of why we should desire these things. You know what? I'll cut it short here, right? But if there's one thing I want to kind of end it with is here. My life verse, right? Romans 8, 28 and 29, right? And we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. Basically, what Paul's saying is this, right? We know in our lives, lots of things happen to us, whether it's good or bad, right? And God doesn't desire for the bad to happen to us, but even in the bad, he's going to use the bad to turn us and to make us into the image of Christ. He's going to use all of these things to make us more Christ-like. Why? So that Christ is the firstborn, you know, in not just in Hebrew culture, right, but in our culture in general. And I love the prophecy over Pastor Nate as being the firstborn son of SP. Pastor Nate, I got to say, is this, right? And I know he's here. It's kind of weird. And I've never said this. And I know there's going to be bromance going on and whatnot. But he is probably one of the most humble men I have ever met. Hands down. And I've told him this before, right? One of the most humble, dedicated to SP, willing to submit to PSAM, willing to do anything that this church needs him to do. One of the most humble guys. Like, seriously. And I'll just leave it there. I don't want to make it too weird. But he is, okay? And you know, when Pastor Benjamin prophesied over him as being the firstborn of this church, I understood why. Because he's the example for the rest of us as staff as how we need to be in our attitudes for this church. We need to be humble. We need to serve this house. We need to serve PSAM. We need to be willing to do whatever this house needs us to do. And so this is exactly what Romans 8:29 is saying. For those he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. That Christ is our firstborn. He is the person we need to want to be like. He is the person that we need to pray, God, whatever it is that you do, give to me his faith. Give to me Christ-like faith, Christ-like conduct, Christ-like works, right? And if I was to take it a step further, you know, when I used to pray for a mentor, you know, God actually said no for a while, and I had no mentors, and this was the verse that he gave me. He said Christ was going to be my mentor. After I realized Christ was first, and I started reading his word and absorbing it and all these sort of things, then he gave me earthly mentors and earthly fathers like Larry and PSAM and whatnot. And from them, I learned everything that I know today. Honestly. Without them, I honestly could not be here. Without them, I wouldn't be able to stand here and teach or preach. I would not be able to pray for healing. I would not be able to prophesy. To be honest, without them, I would still be stuck in myself, fearful of who God has made me to be, and not understanding the purposes of my life. And so if there's anything that I would give as advice to any one of us, or even, you know, to youth or whoever wants to ask, I would say is this: pray for godly mentors. Pray that God puts people in your life that can teach you, that can give you the word of God, that can give you their conduct and to show you their conduct and their faith. And so let's close our eyes. And so as Jeff comes back up, and I know I said I was going to end with that, but I do have one more thing that I felt like God was leading me to. And it's Proverbs 1:5, right? It's the seeking of wise counsel. But you know what happens after we seek wise counsel? We still need to live it out ourselves. God has his word for us, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, it's all inspired by God for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. He has all the wisdom in the world for us in this book of life. And we can read it front to back. God can give us as many godly mentors, as many people of wisdom. He can give us divine encounters with Him. But unless we choose to live it out, it's still not going to do anything in our lives. Right? James 1, 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. We don't want to be like that, church. We don't want to be people who come into a church, hear a great teaching, have a great retreat, receive prophetic messages, receive prophetic word and utterances, and then go back and to do exactly the same thing. Because that's not what God wants for us, right? Not just because it's not what He wants for us, but if we want the breakthrough that we're willing, that we really desire, we really need to be the first step of that breakthrough. We need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And maybe it may require for you to do some breaking to that happen as well. You know, I love P.U. used to say, you know, you want a breakthrough? Well, you have to go through the break. And so let me encourage you today. Ask God, Lord, help me know your word. And not just to know his word, I would encourage you, start to memorize it. Memorize his word, little by little. Read it, study it. And then after you've read it, find someone, ask God for someone who can show you and to teach you the beauty of the word and also the conduct in which the word represents. And then lastly, ask God, give me the strength and the inklings of your spirit that I may live it out the way that you desire for me to. Because that is the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge simply is we know, right? The head knowledge. Wisdom is living on it, is living and acting out that knowledge. And so let's really respond to God. Let's pray. God, will you give me knowledge, but not just knowledge of your word. Now give me wisdom, how to act it out. So as Jess leads us, let's really pray. Let's really sing, respond to God.
Holy air. your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. And Jesus, I love you. I love you.
So let's pray. Actually, to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, I really feel like He's doing something right now. When God promised David to set a descendant on his throne, He set Solomon there and He put him there. And when He started growing Solomon, this was before Solomon got really huge and rich and whatnot, God said to him, I love you. I'll do anything for you. Simply ask me what you desire, and I'll do it. I'll do it. That's how much I love you. I'm going to fulfill the covenant I made with your father, David. I'm going to do it. Solomon's response, and this was something that's always stuck with me that I never really understood. Not until I started getting a little older now, and I started experiencing more in this life. I see the pain that people go through. I see the hurts that my friends and family go through. I see the decisions that they have to face. And oftentimes they face without the wisdom of God. And they make some big mistakes. I now understand why Solomon would ask for what he did. God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And it's because in his wisdom he understood that without God's wisdom, everything that he would have received from God probably would have been curses to him. Without wisdom and knowledge and understanding, his riches would have destroyed him. His place as king would have made him prideful and would have been his downfall in God's eyes. And he would not have been the model of God that he would have been. Or that he was. And I mean, obviously Solomon messed up too, but even in that, even in his humanity, God gave him the wisdom to rule and to become an effective minister of God as a king, not necessarily as a priest. And so if you were in the marketplace right now, I feel like God's doing something. I feel like God is saying this, ask of me anything you desire. Go ahead, ask of it. Ask for wisdom. Ask that God gives you such holy and godly wisdom that is going to light your path, that it's going to guard your heart, that it's going to lead you into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That it will make you lie down in green pastures. That it will lead you or guide you beside quiet waters. That it will make your life full in abundance. Not necessarily easy, but so that you will know your steps are guarded from this day until forever. Ask for wisdom. And so can we do that right now? I'm going to pray for you too. I'm going to pray that God is going to give you wisdom in all that you do. But I feel like we need to respond to it. Holy Spirit is here. But there is a necessity for us to say, Lord, here I am. There is a necessity for us to be desperate for the things of God. And so let's pray. God, give me wisdom. Give to me your word. Give to me an ability to memorize your word so that it can be fruitful in my life. So let's pray. I don't usually do this at EMP because it's already 7:50. But I really feel like I have something for you guys. And so if we can all close our eyes. John, I feel like God has a word for you. He's given you so much, not just opportunities, but an ability to see things differently than people do. He's given you an opportunity to create your own business. He's given you an opportunity to both succeed and to fail in that business. He's given you an opportunity to go get an MBA and to do all of these things. Well, I feel like there's two things that God wants to say to you today. It's the first thing is this. For those much that has been given, much is required. The second thing I feel like God is speaking, and it's going to confirm the first thing is this, is you are someone with such intellect. You are someone with such an ability to have great thought process and to understand the things of this world. But something that God wants to give to you is a recognition that the wisdom of the world will never be able to trump the wisdom of God. It doesn't matter how many experiences you've had. It doesn't matter how many businesses you've built or will build. It doesn't matter how much education you've had or will have. None of that is going to trump the wisdom that God can give to you through the power of His Word. Now, I'm not saying that all those things don't matter. We know God is a practical God. We know God is a God that gives to us the things that we need to build us into the men of God and the women of God that we need to become. But they are not your crux. They are not your foundation. They are not the things that He's going to build you up from. It is only through His Spirit, His Son, and His Word that you're going to succeed as the businessman that God's called you to be. I'm not going to presume, but I feel like God wants you to succeed, John. He wants you to succeed. Not only does He desire for you to succeed, He wants to raise you up very, very high. But He cannot do it if you're going to raise yourself up on the wisdom of this world. Because the authority that He wants to place on you as a premier businessman is not going to bring Him glory. If the success that you have is simply because of the things that you've learned in this world. And so I feel like this is something that you already kind of know, that He's already giving to you today. I feel like you already know that He's already trying to speak to you in this way. And so Lord, I pray, God, that You are going to instill this power over John, God, and this authority, God, to bring wisdom, Lord, into the marketplace. Lord, He's going to do great things, yes, and a lot of it is going to come from the practical wisdom He's learned from business school and from businesses. But in His humility, He's going to realize that it was in God's wisdom that built Him into the man that He is today. And it is only going to be in God's wisdom that He's going to make anything and to be fruitful in the things that You've called Him to. And so God, would You bless him, God? Lord, will You seal Your word in his heart? Help him remember it. Lord, give him a desire for Your word as much as he desires business, as much as he desires understanding and knowledge. Give to him understanding and knowledge of Your word. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. So why don't we pray for our community focus today? We'll kind of push through it. And so let's really pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's really pray for full and complete healing. Let's pray for Jesus' word over them, that they can be healed. Let's really pray for the families. Let's pray for resources, whatever it is that they need to become well. Let's really pray over them. Thank you.
those who are suffering from other illnesses, but also in need of salvation. Let's really pray for a birthing of faith. Let's really pray that God opens their eyes. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really act on their hearts, that they know that there's more to this life than simply what they see. So let's pray for physical healing and also salvation over them as well. Those in our community in need of non-cancer related healing, let's really pray for pain to go away. If they are suffering from pain, let's pray for inflammation to go away. Let's pray for healing, supernatural healing of things that cannot be healed by this world standards, by medicine. Let's really pray for the power of God to rest on them and to fall on them, that they may know that God is with them today. Let's really pray. Cover them in faith, in prayer of faith, in prayer of healing. Let's really pray. For those in need of work, let's really pray for David, Jen, Dave, Sue, and John Lee. Let's really pray that God is going to lift them up. Let's pray for God's wisdom and anointing to come over them. Let's pray that as God prepares them for their mission field, that they're just going to be ready to go in there and to be ministers of God. But let's really pray for financial providence over them as well. Everything that they need from this day until God's work comes for them. Let's really pray for them. To our mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Let's pray for Jesse, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches. Let's really pray that God really does an amazing work in that place. Let's really pray for protection for the ministers that are in that place. Let's really pray for God's hand to fall onto that country. Let's pray that God just delivers and brings deliverance over the people of the nation. Pray for Peace Sam and Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Monica. Let's really pray for the families. Pray for covering over them. Let's pray for especially knowledge, God's knowledge and wisdom as they make decisions for the church, as they guide us in the direction that we go. Let's really pray for covering over their families, the relationships, and the workplaces. Let's really pray for them. Thank you.
for the hospitality ministries. Pray for welcoming in Bristol. Let's really pray that God continues to touch those that are serving in the ministry. As three services come, let's really pray for a renewal of heart to be able to serve in the ministries as well, and to, for God to really touch them. Those are actually very difficult ministries to serve in sometimes, but let's really pray for God's touch to come upon them. Pray for the leaders, pray for Bonnie and myself, and just pray for everyone who comes into this church, that they'll feel welcomed. Actually, in that way, pray for the church as well. You know, the congregation as a whole, as a church, we are all welcoming ministers. So let's really pray that as a church, we're going to become more welcoming as well. So let's really pray. Pray for the men's ministry, the Monday morning prayer meetings that they have, and also the Pure Desire groups. Let's pray for the women's ministry, Yama and Yamama. Let's really pray for the leaders, Tyler, Amanda, Tay, and Kenny. Let's really pray for God's wisdom over them. Let's really pray that God does an amazing work through them and through the ministries. And let's really pray for all those involved in these ministries, that they'll really come to know the wisdom of God. They will be able to become men and women who fear and know the Lord. Let's really pray. Pray for our house churches tonight. Let's pray for us, Causeway Bay, Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Line Rock, and Taihang. So we pray for God's wisdom to His Spirit to come and just really fill the homes that they're going to be meeting in, for wisdom and power for the leaders, and just for a connection for everyone in the host churches to the Spirit tonight, that they're going to know that God is with them, that God is pleased with them, and they love them, and just for them to be able to know that they are sons and daughters of God. So let's really pray for the house churches. So we thank you, Lord, for this morning, God. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your wisdom. And Lord, I just want to speak your blessing, God, of Psalm 1 over my brothers and sisters, God. That blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. For he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Everything he does prospers. But not so the wicked, for they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, sinners, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so, Father, will you bless them, God, with your word? Bless them, Lord, with your understanding. And God, I pray for your supernatural protection over them. God, I pray for covering over their families, over their workplaces, over their relationships. Lord, give them wisdom into how and what and when to do the things that they need to do that you've called them to do. And Lord, I pray against backlash over them. I pray, God, that the enemy will have no hand into what they do or the things that belong to them. And that the God, they're going to walk out of here knowing that they are loved by you as sons and daughters. So God, we thank you for today. We lift you up, Lord. We love you in this place. Holy Spirit, come with us, Lord, in all that we do. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Bless you guys. Sorry that I took a little bit longer, but have a great day and have a good time of prayer. We'll see you back tomorrow.